I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the gods will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 750.
A milestone.
A true milestone. Probably the most important episode we've had.
I know, that's probably
ever.
Wow. That is fair.
Insidious, Behind the Green Door.
It's a very different movie.
That's whenever I think of Behind the Green Door, I think of Cannonball Run.
Why?
Because the two Chinese race car drivers, yeah, one of whom was Jackie Chan.
Yeah, that's right. His first American role, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah. And his last for a long time. Yeah. He was like, F this.
No.
I'm not coming over here to do this.
No, thank you.
He's like, I'm a legit action star, and you guys can suck it.
Have you seen Police Story?
Right.
Good Lord.
But they had a TV in their car, right? Because they're Chinese, so they know technology.
Sure.
Right? And they were watching Behind the Green Door.
So. Wow.
So that's...
That's it.
I don't even know what Behind the Green Door is.
It's a very famous porno from the 70s.
Is it the first interracial?
I don't know why it's so famous, to be honest.
They're watching a porno in Cannonball Run.
I mean, you don't see...
I know, but you just see
the credits say Behind the Green Door.
That's funny.
To me, it's like Debbie Does Dallas, Deep Throat.
Yeah,
Behind the Green Door.
I would think it would go Deep Throat, Debbie Does Dallas, Behind the Green Door.
Okay. Like,
never heard of
that. I'm not going to say influential, but...
Influential?
But Deep Throat was like people who didn't know porn
yes, would know about.
Yeah, but Deep Throat was like played in like legit theaters, right?
I think it did eventually.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
And this is how you know the movie sure is a good one to talk about.
Hang on to the Wikipedia.
I think it did, and then the lead actress like disowned it.
Yeah, Linda Lovelace.
Linda Lovelace. Yeah, not Marilyn Chambers.
But she made a lot of porn because she actually there's a porno she's in called Linda Lovelace for President.
Oh, really?
Which stars is overstating it.
Yeah,
but has Mickey Dolenz in it.
What?
Now, he's not doing it.
That's not a Sylvester Stallone situation.
He just happens to be in the movie.
That's hilarious.
Because porn had become fairly mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
People
gosh.
Would be like, hey, you want to be in this porno? Yeah, all right.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Sure. So Behind the Green Door is a 1972 American feature-length pornographic film widely considered one of the genre's classic pictures.
See?
Influential.
And one of the films that ushered in the golden age of porn.
I did not know where that was going
to
go.
Which has not ended to this very
yet.
Day. Featuring Marilyn Chambers, who became a mainstream celebrity, it was one of the first hardcore films widely released in the United States and the first feature-length film directed by the Mitchell brothers.
Oh,
perfect.
It was adapted from an anonymous short story
I bet it was.
Of the same title, which was
anonymous short story.
Which was circulated by means of carbon copies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the story's title makes reference to the 1956 hit song Green Door, whose lyrics describe being denied entry to a raucous nightclub with a green door. Though she plays the film's central character, Chambers does not have a single word of dialogue in the film.
Couldn't get her SAG card.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing.
Does count?
Gaggy noises kind of style. The film is possibly the first U.S. feature-length heterosexual hardcore film to include an interracial scene.
Yeah!
Wow, you know your history.
I know my pornos.
Yeah. Joe knows his pornos.
Yeah.
Porn Joes.
Oh, trademark it. That's a t-shirt.
No, yeah,
absolutely.
No.
Don't make this mistake, Kevin. This is the mistake the MPAA made, right? They created the ratings, right? And then they trademarked. Do you not know this story?
No.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. So we're actually going to give you real film history.
Yes.
They used to have, like, the first rating system was, like, M for mature, right?
Yes, yeah.
And then they segued into what we have today, essentially, which was G, PG, R, and X.
X,
right? Yeah. And they didn't...
So Midnight Cowboy?
Midnight Cowboy is the only X-rated movie ever to win an Oscar.
Yeah, okay.
Although, if you watch it today, you're like,
it's
what?
Not.
And
it's
like watching...
It got an X, basically, because they... alluded to the fact that a guy sucked it.
You don't see it, though. It's just alluded
You see
to.
Him, like, go down. His head goes out of frame. Okay. And,
yeah, it's ridiculous to be rated X. Also, one of the greatest films ever made.
Oh,
I came late to
it's
the,
all right.
Yeah. I think it's a great film. I came late to the game. It was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. I think I told you, Tom, after watching, like, this movie's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good movie. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, they trademarked all the ratings, right, except for X. Because they didn't want to be associated with
the dirty picture.
Right?
So what does that mean? So
what that means is you cannot declare your movie PG without their approval. But because they didn't trademark X, anybody can say their movie is X-rated.
So they can just advertise X-rated.
Right. X-rated movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they completely lost control of the X rating, right? Because if you think about it, like, that's where you have triple X.
I was going to say,
right?
Triple X.
Right? Nobody, like, they don't, which was just a marketing tool to say, oh, this isn't just dirty. It's triple dirty.
It's so dirty. We added two more X's.
Right.
It's
interesting.
Because you don't see that with any, you know, like, it's not like, come see Bambi. It's triple G.
No, I always thought that X-rated was a film and then triple X was just straight porn. Like, I thought it was.
That's the way it started.
I always thought of triple X as being porn, but X-rated was like, oh, this movie's too extreme for.
Well, porn is very,
which is
very
what they want you to think.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what they want you to think.
Yeah.
But no, they basically, by not trademarking the X because they didn't want to be affiliated, they wanted to have this tool in their toolbox, but they didn't want to sully their own names. They didn't copyright it. And now, if you make a movie and to call it a PG movie, they will sue you.
Yes.
Like, you have to put it through their submission.
It's
got to
go through their stuff.
Well, it makes sense. See, that's why I didn't trademark real spoilers. I didn't want to be associated with it.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, all's well that ends well.
That's right.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast.
Spreaker by Ryan Reynolds.
If only. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful and appreciated. You can also find.
Joe, do we have any?
No.
sure
don't.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You know, the easiest thing you can do to help us doesn't cost you a dime is share an episode in your social media feed, whichever one of the 400 that now exists.
Share it on your threads?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blue Sky.
I haven't started tracking
threads
yet, so.
Oh, Blue Sky, that will be gone before it's here.
What is that?
It's a Jack Dorsey, St. Louis's own, who created Twitter, left Twitter, you know, and sold it and did all that stuff. And he started his own Twitter too, you know, basically sold it. I mean, smartest idea ever. It's like, if someone wants to buy our podcast for millions of dollars, okay, we'll start
done.
Movie guy pod, you know, it could be,
done and done.
Just do it again. So he started Blue Sky, but it's invite only.
I
you
saw
know, so
that.
It's very elite, you know, and people can invite their own people. Well, Threads, which is owned by Meta, which is Facebook.
Okay.
70 million subscribers in less than 48 hours.
Oh my God.
And Blue Sky is sitting over here invite only. I mean, I don't want another app. Threads totally came in and was just like, yeah, everyone who wants it, just go ahead and do it. I mean, can you imagine when Blue Sky comes out, people are going to be like, what? No. I mean, it just seems so stupid.
Just like, God damn it.
I just don't know why they wouldn't have opened it up earlier, especially if they caught wind. Like,
the only thing I can think is they don't think they have the technological infrastructure yet.
And Meta like, is
the,
like,
the reason,
no, we got it.
Because I will say, with Threads, I mentioned this to my wife when it was only at 30 million. I was like, you know, I think most new social media platforms, if they had that influx, would implode.
Sure. Oh, 30 million is a lot of people.
I was like, they're basically just a division of Instagram, which you can tell when you set up your account.
Oh, okay.
But you can only have an account if you have Instagram.
I thought you could create one from scratch, but
I think it creates an Instagram account for you. I believe that it's all ran on an Instagram.
It's on the bones of Instagram.
Yeah, I believe so.
And so because of that, it can handle that influx where I don't think the average company could just...
A new app, a new service.
But it's just like, well, they might have wanted to figure... I mean, how much value did they just lose by not figuring out how to get more servers or whatever? Because when it comes out, I mean, for me, I use Facebook mainly only for the show, and I use Twitter. I don't ever use Instagram. It's a pain. Now I'm trying to use Threads, like, to get a fifth one that I don't use. You know, and I've got Hive and all the not Twitter ones that
What's Hive?
When Twitter was crashing, people were experimenting with, this might be the one that takes over, but Threads came in and just, that's the one.
Yeah, Threads is like, never mind.
I mean, it works really well and everything, but the only thing that sucks is giving more power to Meta and Zuckerberg. Right. Facebook's already so huge. Instagram is huge. And now to have basically Twitter be a Twitter owned by Meta, I mean, they're controlling
it's weird how people are like, yay, Mark Zuckerberg. It's kind of like
that alien,
like,
weirdo.
Oh, I'm so tired of this Hitler. Thank you, Stalin.
Yeah, it's not a good thing for a tech company to have, because, I mean, have you seen...
Meanwhile, Mussolini.
He's
invite only.
Right, yeah.
Over there,
he's like,
God dang it.
I screwed this up.
Have you seen that documentary that came out a few years ago about social media and, like, the psychological impact it has on people? And, I mean, that's why Paul Harris left Facebook, because he didn't want to contribute to the Zuckerberg and all that, so I'm sure he's not on Threads. But, I mean, it has reprogrammed us and really screwed with our...
That's so interesting. I mean,
I mean, you may not even notice it, but, like, just the impulse to have to check it and the like feedback and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I did see that doc.
And
about the serotonin and like, what it does to your brain.
Everything they do is
and it was hosted by, like, a actor that you've seen a lot of stuff. He was in...
Troy McClure.
No, yeah, he might. He was in Mystic Pizza and...
Yeah, I can't think of who it was.
You see him in a lot of stuff.
It was really good.
Kind of a little bit of a weird-looking dude.
Yeah.
But he's very charismatic. But he's odd looking.
But so the thing is, they don't care about you. I mean, and besides from selling your data and everything, they want you to keep using the app. And so they're not doing things for your benefit. They're doing things to keep you there. It's unhealthy things.
Which is why all the disinformation and white supremacist stuff took hold. Because once you started engaging with it, it's
the feedback.
The algorithm
doesn't
know.
Like,
they're like,
hey,
oh, well, if you like this, here's more of it.
Yeah. You just get more of your echo chamber and more positive feedback. And you're saying things and people are liking it. And so, oh, let me just keep doing this.
Because if you see my Facebook feed, it's all monkeys and Peloton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got to start talking to Snyder Bros. Because now I get
just
it.
Gonna keep popping
keeps
up.
Popping up. And I was like, oh, God, get out of here.
Any interaction. Because that is why all the controversy and, you know, when people say something stupid and then people are telling them they're stupid and then other people are like, no, they're right, you're dumb. Like, they want you to fight online because that keeps people coming back. The happy stuff, I mean, yeah, you like a picture of a puppy and it gets lots of likes, but doesn't get 10 trillion comments.
Yeah,
want you to fight about Snyder Bros stuff. So if you do that stuff, they'll just
sometimes
keep...
I can't help it.
Yeah. I get it, but stop it.
Monkeys and
Peloton. And,
that does sound all right.
Liquid death. That's why I always try to program for Matt Reedy's Facebook. I always tag him and type liquid death in the post.
So people who were kind enough to share an and not fight with a Snyder Bro, hopefully this week, include Travis Tewitt, Brendan McGuckin, Lane Levanway, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Julian Jordan, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Ralph Tribble, Chris Sanders, Chris Falls, Gabriel Lugo, Phil Timon, Jason Weese, Chris Magic Man, Taylor Ward, Christopher Rex, Josh Rosen, Heather Sachs, Braid 1991, We Have a Hulk, Invasion of the Remake, Paul Der Hagopian, I hope I'm saying that right at all, David Rojas, Colby Mack, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Feel and Film, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, Ryan Terry, Nostalgia Cast, In Session Film, and Matt Neglia. So thank you very much.
It was, guys.
It was Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
So thank you very much. Also, don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we love you long time.
Yes.
So
we hit 300 on YouTube. Yeah,
I think we're over it now.
Well, yeah, we're one or two or whatever.
Three
but
or two.
If we get to 1,000, we can monetize. So
hey, let's do it.
I mean,
700 more to go. Yeah, let's rock and roll.
It's important. I mean, to think about it, we say the things that you can support the show, and that all helps. Patreon's great to when we need the funds and sharing the show to get more listeners. But if you can subscribe on YouTube, it doesn't matter. Even if you don't watch on YouTube, if you have a YouTube account, if you have a Google account, if you can go on Real Spoilers and subscribe, all we need is that 1,000 number, and then if we get monetized, that will help support the show too.
Big time.
And you don't even have to watch stuff; just subscribe. So all those little things that we ask for, really, they will help us. I know that it's they always ask for that, but it will.
It's true.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We are DIY to the fullest.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Anyway, there's all that. Let's dig into Insidious Red Door.
Insidious, man, okay. The big snore.
This was
the most boring.
So boring.
Slow.
So I think 1 and 2 are fantastic.
Look, those are good movies.
I'm not a horror movie guy, but 1 and 2.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
I am not. Yes,
person. You're a horror movie person. Yes. It doesn't matter.
But 1 and 2.
A man.
Are great.
And those are PG-13.
It's a brilliant 1-2 punch.
Yes, and they're really good.
Yes. Yeah. And 1 is really good. 2 is great.
2 is one of those weird ones where you're just like, oh, okay, we're going
to. Yeah, like I watched 1 and I was, because my stepdaughter wanted to watch it during a brief attempt at bonding. And so I watched 1 and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. Like, I did not expect that to be good, but they did that very well. And then it was like, well, let's roll into the second one. And I'm like, there's no way they do this twice. And then, because especially when it starts, I was like, what are we doing?
Yep.
And then by the end, I was like, well, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, 2's better than 1.
I never have seen this 3rd and 4th. And I honestly don't remember 1 and 2. I remember they're good, but I could not tell you what.
3 and they definitely, so what happens is they, in 1 and 2, it's Josh and Dalton, right? It's Patrick Wilson and the kid from Iron Man 3.
Who is still the kid here?
Wow, that's the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yes, this is the same kid, which I appreciate.
I will say, I like the fact that they don't seem to have recast anybody. They seem to have forgotten.
Maybe
have a daughter.
Girl.
Well, she doesn't have any purpose.
You just don't see her, right?
But you see her at the funeral, and then Rose Byrne goes, she's at a friend's house, and we never see her again.
Is she no longer a professional actor?
Well, she was a baby in the first one, so sure.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Yeah, because the brother doesn't seem like he doesn't seem very good.
No,
in this movie, like I like the scenes with him. Like, I'm not even trying to bag on him, but I just really
with
got
younger
with him,
one at
with
home,
the younger brother.
Where they call in real quick.
I do like where they're kind of giving each other.
Like, it felt like a brotherly relationship.
It did,
but I also felt like this kid's not a very good actor. Like, I felt like he doesn't do it anymore.
No, I think you're right.
Like the guy who plays Dalton.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was funny when he called in.
Like two
I think
times
it was the second
one
time.
Yeah.
When he called in, he said things that did seem very much like little brother. And
like, might be the highlight of the film.
Yeah. It's,
I was so bored. I dozed off 2 times during this movie. Yeah. It's so slow. It does that thing where there's no score again, but in a horribly ineffective way where it's so quiet. Not even to like give you a big jump scare. It's just like, oh, we're not going to score this thing? We're just going to
be so
completely
weird,
silent?
The lack of music.
Yeah.
It
was, considering, I think, 1 and 2... did something very interesting with their music where it was like those really like screechy high pitched violins is kind of what like they're, they didn't really have a score, but they did have like music. So 1 and 2 is Josh and Dalton where they're trying to figure it out. 3 is
was he in a coma? What was that whole thing?
So in 1, he's in a coma.
He's in a coma, but really his coma is he's astral projected so
he's
far away he got stuck.
Yeah, he's stuck in the
folder. He's upside down.
He's
kind of, yes.
He poltergeisted it.
Yeah. Yes, okay. That's exactly what he did.
He's Caroline.
And then in 2, when Patrick Wilson goes into the further to rescue Dalton, something keeps Patrick Wilson there. And when what we don't know at the end of one, right, is the Patrick Wilson, the Josh that we see is not the real Josh.
That's like, I remember there was something like
he's
that,
possessed.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the second movie is possessed Patrick Wilson the entire time, and Dalton has to go into the further and bring his dad back.
And like the things that they're doing in the further that they're engaging with is them from the first movie.
And so it's really, that is interesting.
It's really smart.
It's that's James Wan and Lee Winnell.
Who wrote Lee Winnell wrote this one?
He has a story credit.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But you don't think. But I mean, no. I figure that that's still extended to like what happens in this movie.
That dude.
It's not like
is,
a character's by credit. It's a story.
I think that dude's way too busy.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude,
he's
what
doing
happened after the invisible. Is the Invisible Man, right?
So he. Yes. And
or
then,
is Invisible Woman? It was Invisible Man.
It was
right?
Invisible Man.
It's okay. Invisible Man, but everybody wants to call it the Invisible Woman because it's all about a woman.
Right. I get confused because I'm like,
which is a fan.
That's so good.
That's such a good movie.
It's a and fantastic it's like, movie.
I was started think when I saw Lee Winnell in this one, credits in this one. I go, what happened to that?
Did because, you see him in the movie?
Was he in it?
Yeah.
Who was he?
He's one of the two guys with like the suit and ties.
Oh, yeah. Funny. So I was starting to wonder, was Invisible Man part of that Dark Universe thing, and now it's defunct?
No, so the Invisible Man was the rebooted stuff. So what they were going to do, that Invisible Man movie was supposed to reboot the new...
So you're not the Dark Universe?
No.
Oh, was Johnny Depp the Invisible Man?
Oh, maybe.
Yes.
Was he going to be...
Was like Tom Cruise, and they were going to make it like Marvel.
Yeah.
And then that failed so...
The Mummy?
That was it. And as far as they got.
No, didn't they do one other one?
No.
Oh, I guess I was
they
thinking
set
because
up the
Dr. Jekyll was right. Russell Crowe.
And they never went anywhere.
In that picture. Oh, my
but
gosh.
But that Invisible Man was supposed to be the new kickoff.
Let's go.
But they weren't going to do... A joined universe. Going to be universal monsters.
But that's okay. Where are they? Let's go. Like, that was so good.
Lee Winnell has been working on The Wolfman
with
Ryan Gosling.
Now, a question I have for you. Have you heard any rumors? Does the Wolfman have nards?
Yes. He's a man.
I don't know.
Wolves have nards. Men have nards.
They cancel out.
I don't think... I don't think he does because Monster Squad was not officially using Universal Monsters.
That is true.
So if Universal Monster has Wolfman has nards, it's copyright violation.
That's fair.
Nards are...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is funny, though. Like,
also, T-shirt, don't forget to copyright your nards.
Yeah.
That's ours. Sorry, the lead actor.
That's a good T-shirt.
That's a good T-shirt.
Don't forget
to copyright the nards. But, like, I don't think anybody else does the bipedal Wolfman. Because American Werewolf in London is the dog version, like on all fours. I think Universal's the only one.
Are you talking about no other Wolfman walks around?
I don't think so. Not on two legs.
Oh. All the Universal ones?
It's all Lon Chaney. Lon Chaney Jr. is the Wolfman.
And he's walking around?
On two legs. Always.
Yeah.
But the American Werewolf in London.
Abbott and Costello Meet Frank?
He is, yeah. Is a wolf. Like
okay.
it's a giant wolf.
Yeah.
I don't. Oh man, that's a good question.
Interesting.
But I wonder if like Universal's like
Teen Wolf.
Oh, totally on two legs.
Yeah. And what about
also Michael Landon and I was a teenage werewolf. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Is Michael J. Fox?
He is not. Okay, this is so weird.
That's Wolfman.
He's not
right?
He's not a werewolf.
What is it?
He's a cat.
What?
I'm not making.
He's
that
a cat.
Up. Yes.
What, Teen Wolf is about a cat?
No, the Michael Jackson video, the Thriller video.
Oh, he's...
Thriller's a cat?
I thought you said... He said Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf is absolutely on two legs,
okay.
And he has sex in that movie.
As the Wolf. In Thriller, he's
wolf
a cat.
Style.
Yeah.
Wolfie
style. Thriller, he's a...
Yes, he's a cat.
A werecat?
He's a werecat.
And what's the other one?
I don't think Michael Jackson was very were.
No, he was not. What was the other one?
There was another wolf one where...
Jack Nicholson? It's just called Wolf.
But
he doesn't really wolf out. He has like wolf tendencies where he pees on that guy for no reason.
What about that wolf that goes like awooga and like stomps his feet and he's at a nightclub?
That is definitely a Tex Avery cartoon.
Yes.
mimicked by The Mask in 1994. Yeah, so like these so three and four.
I saw three.
Are prequels.
I never saw four. The biggest mistake this franchise made was killing the chick.
Killing Lin Shaye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like they did not think they were going to be making more of these.
No.
So they killed her. And like, then
they
were
kill
like
her earlier.
They killed her in the first movie.
Oh.
First movie or second movie?
I thought they killed her in the first movie, and then that's why that second movie is in such a tight time crunch.
Oh.
Because they wanted to still have her.
Sure.
And
sure,
then they
sure.
were like, well, now what? So then they started doing prequels.
Mm. Yes. So 3 and 4 are prequels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About what?
About Lin Shaye's character.
Okay.
So you know who we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they go back.
Because 3 is about, connects up to Josh as a boy.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, and 3 yeah. actually is directed by Lee Whannell.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
And then
because
4,
that's how they get important people back. They let them direct the movies.
That's exactly.
Even if they're not capable.
Patrick
Wilson.
So I don't totally agree with that. I think this movie starts off. So we know at the end of 2 that this doctor makes Dalton and Josh forget what they are able to do to keep them safe. We flash forward 9 years later. I like the idea. But it is poorly, and I don't think it's Patrick Wilson's fault. I think
also
this script
like
is
the
real
idea
bad.
Of communism, but it doesn't work.
I think it is. I agree. It is very
this
boring.
Is stretched so thin. Okay, yeah. The plot of this movie, the reason why we're 25 minutes in and haven't started yet, the plot of this movie
Well, we
is,
did that on Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
We were
don't
45
worry.
Minutes in.
No, we had technical issues, so that wasn't
no,
really
we
true.
No, we were 45 to minutes into the episode before we started talking about the movie.
I watched it. Yeah, Tom's right.
Oh. Well, I got nothing for you then.
Well, here, this is the thing, is I think the problem that this movie has is they have the, I don't remember what year, I mean, the last one may have been 10 years ago, maybe.
Roughly. Yeah.
So, and they have gotten away from Josh and Dalton. They've gotten away from these characters and they started to pivot to these other characters. When you bring them back, and I do like the idea that because they have been, Dalton and Josh have been forced to forget this whole thing, that there is a rift. Like, and as Patrick Wilson's character is getting older, right, his brain isn't going to work the same. So I do like the idea that there is a strife and that
the premise behind this movie makes sense.
There's yes. no and problem no, with the premise.
Normally, yeah. I don't like the idea of like, we waved a magic wand and you forgot things.
Right.
I allow it in this franchise because it's based on that concept.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
Because the whole idea was Josh has these same talents or skills or whatever, and he had them as a boy, and they had to bring in the Lin Shaye character.
To, like, disastrous
yeah,
effects.
Yeah, and then they made him forget it all. So when it starts with his son, he's completely unaware that this is a thing he's already gone
right,
through.
Right,
right. And so, like, I liked all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so so when this movie opens with, like, we're making you forget, like, it didn't feel like mm-hmm. a plot device because it's baked in.
It's to, been there
yeah,
to the
I,
DNA.
I like
this.
The idea.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on board. It's like, okay, cool. Nine years later, let's see how they're dealing with it. But I cannot think of one scary moment that blew me away in this movie. Like, there was no really good imagery or monsters
so
or
I
creepiness.
I like the gimmick in the MRI machine where just like, you can, I like the idea of like, you know, I've been in those multiple times.
Yeah.
You can't get
I like
out.
The idea. It didn't even look good though.
Yeah.
It was a very weird.
Agreed. Like the film itself, it's a good setup.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
But it doesn't really pay off.
When that thing comes creeping at the weird choppy, whatever, I'm just like, what is happening?
Which is strange because that's not been I don't think that was a thing in the other movies. I don't think they did like that. Herky jerky.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. With
I don't remember.
Motion.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but I also like there are moments where Josh has dropped Dalton off in college, and he's sitting in his car.
He's divorced from Rose Byrne.
Yeah,
now.
So because which is also like Rose Byrne, I'm like, you're kind of the cause of all this. Like, you're the reason you're.
Oh, we're gonna get letters.
I'm not wrong. Like, she can. Okay, now hold on a second. Her husband and her son have gone, the whole family has gone through this horrible thing, right? What they forget to tell you is that Josh does try to kill everybody.
Oh,
right.
Well,
like Shining style, right? So they put them under and make them forget this entire thing. As time goes on and Rose Byrne's character notices that something's wrong with Josh, rather than sticking with him, and try to like work through this with him, she's like, I'm out. And it's like, you know what happened. You know why he's like, and he can't figure it out. He doesn't know what's wrong with his brain. You know what's wrong with his brain, and you're not helping him.
Do you think they said,
but how do you help him?
I don't know.
Right.
But
so
I don't have that answer.
Do you think that the real reason, though, is they said, Rose Byrne, can you film for one day?
Yes, I do.
That and credit. I mean, I know usually the and is an important credit, but when she's the last credit and says and Rose Byrne, I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely. And that was an afterthought.
And she's like a major, like she's the second, third lead.
I thought it was so weird. Like they, I mean, do they not advertise this movie as her being like a part of the movie? Because she's at the beginning and she's at the end.
Probably not. I mean, the story
but she's on the poster, right? Like, well, it's not like it's like Rose Byrne. Like, I mean, yeah, right. Like they're selling this movie like it's Rose Byrne. I don't know. I didn't see a trailer, but like they advertise this movie as having Rose Byrne. Like, technically, they're not lying, but wow. I thought she was going to be in the movie.
Yeah, I think that was the hard part for me where I was like, you know what happened to his brain.
I see what you're saying, though, is it's like, I mean, I know it's very difficult for everyone, but like what can he do?
Right.
And then to be like, well, this sucks. He's
see ya.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
So yeah, there is the scene where he's in the car and there is like a figure behind him. And I do like that. It's like the figure is getting closer and closer and closer and it's out of focus just a little bit. I think some of the shots are really
good.
I like
the idea, but then it's not scary.
Right.
Like it's not even creepy or eerie. It's
I think
just
it is
like,
creepy and eerie, but there is no delivery.
But
I think chunks of this movie wanted to be Hereditary.
Oh.
You think I never maybe even he was thought trying, of that. I do think that Patrick Wilson said, okay, I'm directing this thing. I'm going to try to make this artsy. Right. This is a movie that deals with generational trauma, deals with PTSD and that kind of thing. And I think he tried to get a little too artsy with it. There's nothing wrong with trying to deal with that stuff. But the movie ends up not being profound and artistic. Well, it's boring.
Yeah.
But can you put that at Patrick Wilson or the writer?
Well, I think director. The director can be like, we need to do this to liven it up a little bit. Okay. I think that whoever, I mean, it looked fine, you know, I don't know who the cinematographer was, but like his directing skills, the technical skills were not bad. Like the movie looked like a competent film, but he is the director telling people to deliver their lines and to direct the action. And
that's fair.
It just, you know, I think he could have said, this isn't working. We need to whatever. And it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
This reminds me a lot of the last Conjuring movie where it's just like, what are we doing?
I didn't
like,
see that.
It's not here's okay. I'm starting to like kind of turn on those movies a little bit only because of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Cause they're trash.
He was a child molester. He had like,
they're like, hucksters.
They're awful.
They're dead now, right?
Yes.
Is she dead?
Yeah, I believe so. She wasn't when the first one came out, but I think she's died.
Okay. They're both dead.
But they're awful people. And
I didn't realize they were that.
They are terrible.
I knew they were scam artists, but, you know, con.
Yeah, he had like a 14-year-old girl living with him and whatever.
Oh, jeez.
But those first two movies are really good.
They are. They're insanely well done haunted house movies.
Yeah.
And Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are off the charts good.
Yeah.
Like their charisma together is good. Yeah, they're great on screen. But the Warrens aren't heroes in real life.
Right.
You know?
It's weird if you base the characters off of people and then all that stuff comes out. It's hard to.
But there's just a weird tone to that last Conjuring movie that doesn't feel like the other ones. Mm. It's just awesome. And I think this is the same way. I think this is a paint by numbers from the first movie. We're doing the same by the time Dalton gets, I mean, at the end of this movie, Dalton's stuck in the further and Patrick Wilson's going to rescue him.
Yeah. But it's like it's the same thing. It's like the same thing, but not interesting. There's no, like in the first one, there's that creepy red faced demon.
Which
thing,
is, he's
right?
here.
Yeah, but in but it's, it does not have what
the,
effect
does not have the same.
So what
effect.
I'm saying, like they're like, oh, remember that red faced guy that was from the thing? He's but like,
I will say, as much as I love the first two, that demon thing is ridiculous.
The look of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The character design is like,
it's great.
It's so dumb.
But it is creepy.
It's not
though.
Creepy.
I mean, it's like
I think it is pretty creepy.
It's like third tier 80s heavy metal album cover. It's bad.
But I think it's used to effect in the movie where it's unsettling.
The mildly talented stoner kid in your geometry class
on the back of his binder
on the back of his trapper keeper.
I will say that jump scare in the first one, I will go down saying it's one of the top five jump scares of all
time.
There
you go.
It's a fantastic jump scare.
And what was the best, name off the best jump scares in this movie?
The dad running through the window. I don't know. Like
the window one was good. There was another one that did really get
did
me.
It.
Yeah.
I was sleeping at that point.
Yeah.
I feel like it was with Dalton. Maybe in the classroom, or maybe he was when he was drawing the door for the first time. There was something there.
There's nothing about this movie where I would be like, oh, this is such a creepy movie. I got to
You know what I mean? And also, like, jump scares are
it's a cheap thrill.
They're cheap anyway. Yeah.
It's a roller coaster.
Like, yeah.
But, like, you know, if they set them up right, you know, I can give them props if they do things that are you're not expecting to set them up. And with the, you know, the score, if it's just a loud noise, I've been on record where, you know, you're cheating. If you just do a loud noise, well, anyone's going to jump like it's physically, let me send this through your body. You're in a theater.
Yeah. Like, it's like, yes, I have. Reflexes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think this is really boring. And I mean, so the plot of this movie is Dalton is going to college.
Yes.
Josh is going to take him. Originally, the mom was, but she's like, why don't you take him?
Well, we should say that
I'm only in this movie for 10 minutes.
Barbara Hershey, who was a major character, well, sub-major character in one and two. She played Josh's mom.
Yeah.
If you've never seen The Entity, I highly recommend that from 1982. Yeah, they kill her off. I was like, well, that's all right. Like, not even whatever. And that brings our family back together. Like you said, Dalton's going to college. Rose Byrne is like, you should take him. And he's like, no, he doesn't really want me to take him. She's like, you're the parent. And it's like, well, you're not wrong, Rose Byrne.
I liked the on-screen text messaging. Sometimes it's really bad. I like the way they visualized the iPhone on the screen.
I like that more and more.
Yeah.
I don't need to look at your screen phone.
Yeah, they've gotten to a really good point where they float it up there and make it interesting. And they do, like, with the speech, the bubbles, the typing, and it goes away. I just thought it looked good.
I mean, I will also say, in the beginning of this movie, we've talked about it with Stephen King, right? Where when people that don't...
Did you watch The Maximum Overdrive?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So great. I love that. So he is coked out of his mind.
They do it Alamo. They do the trailers that are, like, associated.
I gotta tell you though, couldn't figure those trailers out for the life of me.
I need to find Death Brunch or whatever. That was the craziest looking, most hilarious
short film or something.
Yeah.
So what we've said a billion times is people who don't understand Stephen King and adapt Stephen King, they go straight for the horror.
Right.
You know?
And that's the mistake.
Always, right?
Because books are all about characters.
When you've got a 700-page book, it's not just scares, right? So I do think the beginning of this, the first 30 minutes is reestablishing these characters and building their relationships together.
But there's no decent payoff.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Like, I don't begrudge the movie putting its pieces on the chessboard and getting
things. Do you live here? I hope.
Yes. Like, that was a weird line. Like, what do you mean?
What's your name? Josh Skywalker. That's all I could think of.
I hope. Like, you've got your own place. Like, you're living with your mom.
He thinks he wants to get back together. She invited him for dinner. They're back.
That's not how that works.
I know. Like, it's such a stretch where it's like, it gave him so much hope. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, she's just saying, come over early.
She was being nice. Like,
Rose Byrne has a date.
Now I hope I live here. Like, what? Okay, Josh takes him to college.
It's very contentious. And
that
I will
roommate
say,
is the best part of the movie.
Yes.
She is the most entertaining, most charismatic, best part. The humor all worked.
It is strange. Like, her character, which I have no problem with, is like in a different movie.
I know.
The entire time.
I wish we were seeing that movie.
She's like, can we have something entertaining in this movie? Right. Okay, she'll be the entertaining part.
When she's there.
She was so fun. I liked her funny writing.
Yeah, and also when we go to the frat house, and I was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Tony or whatever.
Yeah, like,
his
this
name
is not.
That was weird.
It's so weird to think of, like, this is not an Insidious movie, but, like, this whole scene is out of something from a 90s college.
Well, and it was so weird
comedy.
When you're in the middle of this party and this guy stops and gives some sort of right-wing stump speech.
That was so
freaking
weird. And
I'm like, nobody at the party would be listening to this.
Let's put a commentary
on. I was in a fraternity. I saw people try to do this, and it never worked.
No.
Like, nobody ever listened to these. They were just like, whatever, dude.
But just kind of what happened, right? Like, everybody's looking at it.
But they wouldn't even stop talking
to
look at him.
I love that one guy who's like, woo!
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
plus they're chanting his name like they love him,
right?
Like it's supposed to be that, like, the people in this fraternity love this.
Yeah,
dude.
It's like
shoehorning this toxic masculinity plot line in this movie that's not
in my head. I was like, oh, that guy's gonna die.
Yeah,
I mean, like, what they were doing. I mean, that's fine that they're trying to say this guy's ridiculous and frat culture and all that's bad and stuff. But, like, why in this movie? Why? This movie is not about that.
No,
it doesn't hang. That's the one time they ever mention anything about that is him being like, this is the last place that men can be men. And no one cheers. And it's like, okay, but what?
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like that's the direct, well, maybe it's Patrick Wilson commenting on, like, because nobody responds to him. Like, that's the commentary. It's like, this guy gets up there, but then it's just like, why is this here? And again, I'm not going to blame Patrick Wilson. That's a scene that's written in the movie. Now, he could say, we're taking that out.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of control over that.
So he drives into school, drops him off. He gets a roommate, Chris.
Well, when Patrick Wilson drops him off, Dalton starts hanging pictures up, and there's a picture of his grandma and his family, and Patrick Wilson does have a pretty good line where he's like, I guess I didn't make the wall. And no. You know, Dalton's like, yeah, you tried to beat me with a baseball bat. Like, you know, you didn't make the wall.
So does he doesn't remember any of that, though?
He remembers the coma. Like, okay. But I guess the other kids do.
They were around. It was 9 years.
I don't think
very
so.
Little, if anything.
Right? I don't think they remember.
The little brother definitely, like, has a reaction to seeing...
Yeah, I mean, I think they see things and it, like, starts to trigger memories. But I don't think that, like, the brother knew this and was hiding it.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because pretty he does sure. say... Well, he says to Dalton, he says... When Dalton's like, tell me about the coma. And he's like, man, the way he says, he's like, you need to talk to Mom.
Yeah.
Makes me feel like the brother does remember that it wasn't a coma. But he's like, it's not my place to tell you, which I gotta tell you. In my opinion, the brother would be like, hey, man,
yeah,
they're lying to you. You know?
But they're very, very contentious.
The other thing that I did like is Dalton, sometimes I was thinking of the gal from The Whale.
Hong Chau?
No, daughter.
Oh, okay.
What's the daughter's name? The gal from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
How irritating she was as a teenager. Dalton can come off as very irritating. That character could,
but
he plays it really well.
When the mom says, how's the drive going? And he goes, types terrible, and then deletes it and says, fine. Like,
yeah.
He's not a little.
No.
You know, yeah. He really is trying, and he's irritated. His dad has, like, abandoned them. And so he has the right to be mad. And it's not that he's just a jerk kid. It's like, no,
he's also got a year of his life has been taken away from him that he doesn't remember. And I do like that line too, where she's like, tell me something weird about you. He's like, I have no memory of when I was 10. I was like, God dang. But yeah, so they go to college and Josh has this reflection where he's like, I got to figure this out. Like, I'm not okay. Everybody can tell that I'm not okay. So I need to figure this out. And he's conversating with Dalton because it does feel like they have this bond, but they don't know they have it. But they, you know, it's like they just keep coming back to each other. So Josh
his roommate is Chris.
Right.
And so they put, it's that
a good,
mix up.
I like that.
They do that. They've done it before. It's not like the first, but you know, they mix up the room assignments. Oh, it's a girl because her name is Chris, but she's played by Sinclair Daniel. You cannot click her on Wikipedia. So she must be fairly new, but she's good. And she deserves.
It is. I will say though, I don't think they would put a boy and a girl in a dorm at the same.
No, well, they're saying
it was a gender mix up because her name is Chris.
Okay. I thought they were saying, like,
now Joe, let's dive into this.
No,
you don't think they'd put a guy and a girl together?
I don't.
That's interesting.
I work on a college campus and I know for a fact.
Yeah, that's
and she makes a joke about it being a liberal arts school, like
keyword liberal.
But, I will say my stepdaughter was confused by that as well. She was like, I thought that they were just saying that that's the kind of school.
That's what I thought too.
And I was like, No, they don't actually foster rapes. They turn a blind eye, but they don't encourage.
Yeah, they won't let you go to the press.
And then the next day, she moves to the room above. If I hear you slapping your meat or whatever, like, it's so funny.
Her dialogue
lines are great
out of a different movie, and that's okay.
Yeah, I want to be in that movie.
So really, what happens is Dalton.
He saw a red door and he wants to paint it black.
That's
the whole premise is based on.
But okay, also the red door has been a thing since the beginning of this movie, the beginning of the series, the red door
has
been a
thing. Evil comes from a red door.
Yeah,
he doesn't know why he's drawn.
He doesn't remember why he's been through the red door. Oh. He and Josh
been through the green door.
Well, that's a very different movie.
I mean, he's in college now.
Green door too.
He's in college, so
there is an interracial relationship in this movie, though.
Oh. Touché.
So the red door has been this thing throughout this franchise, at least for the first two, I think.
I think they did a really good job. So he goes to art class. He has this fancy teacher, and you know she means business because she's telling people to rip up their drawings because they're crap.
Yeah,
and kicking them out of the class.
One guy's like, No.
Yeah. I'm like, good for you, guy, for standing up for your... Yeah, I'm like, that sucks. And Dalton immediately rips his up without her even asking, but she likes that. And anyway, so she has them do these art assignments, and he is, like, drawn. He doesn't know why, but clearly there's something subconscious.
When she starts the countdown,
yeah,
which is what Elise and the other doctor
did.
Oh,
it triggers
the... You know, goes somewhere deep in your mind. He does that, and he starts drawing this door.
And I thought it was really... That was the one moment where... I'm not saying, like, it was jump scare scary, but, like, close up and intense and him drawing it. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. that was filmed well.
And then I think he gets grabbed.
In a creepy way.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets grabbed, and he cuts his hand, and, of course, now there's, you know, like, red,
which
red
is a
splotch
really,
on the door.
Really cool, like, creepy imagery with the blood making the door
red. Yeah. So while Dalton is going through all that, Josh is, you know, going to doctors and trying to figure stuff out, and they're talking about... His memory isn't what it used to be, so like start doing these memory games, which I can't figure out what game he was trying to do.
He's trying to play Match.
He's Match.
Match, but the two, he had two copies of everything, and they were in tiles, where each window, and he was trying to say, where is Dalton, and remember where the Dalton card was.
Oh.
Like, what? He'd find one Dalton, and then be like, okay, now find him again.
And then he would have to mix them up, because he, like, needed to...
Okay. That's where I was confused. I was like, well, stop mixing them up. Like, if you pull up Dalton...
He was, like, failing, and then trying to be like, well, I need to remember the first time, or whatever. You don't really have to mix them up so quickly.
And that's where I think this is a good... tension-building scare here, where he's lifting up the little panel, and there's the guy in the distance.
I like the idea of all that. I think without the score or something, it wasn't effective. I love the idea of seeing something and then a panel going up and then it being gone, and then you're like, is he crazy? Are we seeing things? That can be used really effectively.
Yeah.
But in this film, I'll tell you, I mean, the only thing that was semi-scary was, like you said, the jump. I mean, when he crashed through the window, because I'm like not expecting someone to bowl through, but I don't know, the chase, it seemed not frightening the way he was chasing him up the stairs. Something about it, just the feel of it. It didn't feel like a Hereditary or these... You know what I was thinking from recent times? Was it The Black Phone?
Yeah. Yeah. I did like that.
I think so. Yeah.
That's
a slow burn.
Like it. Yeah.
Stephen King or was it?
Joe Hill. But it's Scott Derrickson.
And that's a guy that knows how to do that. And so that film is a slow burn. It felt a little slow, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's scary and tension filmed. And so you see a movie like this where it just didn't feel creepy. I don't know if it's because it wasn't lit properly, if it wasn't filmed.
This feels where they're definitely, you know, James Wan and Lee Whannell, when Saw and The Conjuring and the first Insidious, and they didn't do Sinister, but like I kind of throw Sinister in with all of this stuff. There's a drive to those guys that I don't feel here.
Yeah. There's, I wish one of them, I mean, Whannell was there. I wish one of them would have kind of been like,
James Wan was a producer. Yeah, so,
here's some money.
Right.
But, you know, give me some money. So, I wish one of them would have been like, hey, Patrick, you want some tips or something? Like, I just feel like they could have, those guys are the modern day masters of horror.
I would agree with
those. Those are the guys making all these movies that are the, you know, the big, like, blockbuster horror movies.
We know you like Malevolent. What's that movie called?
Oh, Malignant?
Malignant, I do. All right.
But those guys know what they're doing, and this movie felt like, again, Patrick Wilson was trying to get a little too artsy-fartsy with it and deep with it, and I don't... You can go into those things, but I think what he forgot to do is make a real creepy, scary
movie. Make a horror movie first.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm wondering, talking about, like, The Conjuring 3, because James Wan didn't direct that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder if these guys... When they hand their babies over to somebody else, it does just lose something, right? Because, like I said, Lee Whannell did Insidious 3. I don't remember who did 4. But, you know, there is just something missing.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the heart of James Wan and Lee Whannell.
Like, yeah, to come, I don't know.
You know.
He has to sneak into a frat party. His dad gives him a flyer. He wants him to go just check it out. He's like, I don't want to go to a frat.
Where he's like... What part of me thinks you like? Look at me.
You don't know me at all.
You think I want to be a frat? You crazy?
It's a good relationship, you know, exploration of that dynamic, and understandably with the memory loss and the way that Patrick Wilson's been distant. All that's fine. Chris convinces him to go to the frat party. While they're there,
she wants to break into these guys' rooms and just steal their.
So we find out that he sees dead people, basically, right?
Kind of been the thing with the Further, is like once that person has crossed the barrier, like the barrier gets weaker and he can see things in the real world that are crossing over.
So they allude, like, they very heavily, very clunkily is like, we don't want another incident, like, you know, and then someone says, rest in peace or whatever. And then so when they're sneaking in the room and he has to hide, we see in the bathroom.
This dude puking his guts
the
out.
The dead guy that died at the frat party. Oh, man, that was when gross. He was like, popcorn, and they're like,
make, blah, blah, blah. When he goes, make it stop. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Make it stop.
I'm like, yummy.
But that feels like it's from another movie.
It does.
They've never really done the gross out horror.
It has never been a thing franchise. In these. There's been like blood, but nothing.
But the,
like,
I mean, that puke was
no
a
getting
lot.
Puked on. Yeah. Puke. You know,
that was like,
oh yeah, and then
of, that was like the meaning of life. Yes, Monty Python was, yes. Puke.
That was exactly ghost right. Puke. It was the hose behind the head just spewing.
Can't do one more bite.
And the fourth Insidious was directed by the guy who did the escape room movies.
Oh, the first one's
first
good.
One's good.
That first escape room was fun.
The second
that
one,
second
not
one
so much.
Was
not so good.
I mean, there were some good moments in it, but it didn't recapture.
Yeah, they killed Deborah Ann Woll.
Yeah, see? Really well, no, they but they didn't, right? Because the second one, spoilers, they didn't kill her.
But didn't they kill her in the second one?
See? She knows.
Twix knows.
I have no idea. But fine. The funny, they realized in the first one that was a mistake or whatever. In the second one, she's like, hey,
I'm back.
Fell and landed on a little platform or whatever.
Yeah, I fell down this 30-foot shaft, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
Really what happens is the barrier in their brains are starting to break down. So Dalton realizes what he can do.
He's falling asleep and then realizing he's like walking in the same world, but he's invisible.
Yes,
but can
he's a ghost.
Interact with things. I mean, oh, you want to blow my hooter? That was another line. It was so funny.
Yeah, like,
funny.
Like, what?
She was just so funny. But anyway, so he goes later and finds the same keyboard with the, I don't know what that's
and
called.
And he put, but yeah.
Hooter.
Hooter, apparently.
But he moves it and she wakes up
she
from play, sleeping.
Yeah, he plays the song that his mom played and she was like, hey.
So she knows and he's like, you a creep?
Yeah.
He explains it to her and she kind of just buys it. She's like, well,
I think when she realizes what he can, when she watches him do it, she was like, oh, this so this entire movie is also about how Patrick Wilson never knew his father. And he's like, my father left and I've never known my father, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I kept thinking, I'm like, is Patrick Wilson working through some stuff?
He could have been,
which
possible.
Is fine. But I'm like, the focus on it, it seemed like, again, he was trying to like, work through some stuff and go on this very deep journey of fathers.
I think
just kind of felt like an afterthought.
Yes. Movie. I do think that character building is important in horror movies, unless you're doing a Friday the 13th. That's right. Not important.
Because why do you care about these people dying? That's the whole thing. You have to care about
I think
characters.
In a Friday the 13th movie, it's like, how are we going to kill these kids?
Well,
like, let's figure this.
That's
you know.
A different, yeah.
But in something like The Conjuring or Insidious Halloween even, like all that stuff is, it's important to care about these characters. So this entire time he's, you know, he lived with his mom. Apparently when she got sick, he gets knocked into in the chase scene with the guy that we talked about earlier through the window. He gets knocked into a closet and this thing box falls in his lap.
Literally.
And of course earlier in the movie, this doctor's like, do you have a history of mental illness in your family? He's like, no. I was like, well that's not coming back. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So runs through, you know, it goes down to the library, which apparently still has microfiche. And it's very cool. And
because
he finds
it's very
out
very old documents.
You don't think that's scanned in somewhere?
Oh, it has not as now dramatic if they scan it in.
Yeah, nowadays it would be in a database.
Yeah,
but
you just be like, doo, doo, doo. Oh, yeah. There it is.
And it's also like his dad's mental health stuff would have like been like from the 80s.
That's true.
Right. Like they're acting
70s at the latest.
Right. Like they're acting like this is like an old mental hospital from the 1920s.
Right.
And
I'm right.
I'm like, that Patrick Wilson's character is like 48 years old. Like,
that's like, a great
point. Is this supposed to take place in modern?
Movie. Yeah.
This is current day.
I mean, they're using iPhones.
Yeah. Well, what I wonder, when they went to the party, I thought she pulled out a portable camera and took a picture. When she says, hey, let's take a picture, something about
it was her phone.
It was a phone. Yeah. Because something about it, and she didn't show it again, so I couldn't tell. But I thought she pulled out one of those, you know, like everyone used to have a digital camera.
Sure.
And took a picture of it that way. And I'm like, wait, what year is this? So I got confused.
I also like that, where he sends the picture to his dad. He's like, I went to the frat party.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
So
he's trying. I'm seeing this more and more in movies where they're like, they like go back in time and like, they, and they're showing you like this antiquated thing. And I'm like, That's bitch, not... it's 2006.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you do the math, it's 2006.
Right,
like,
right.
It's not that long ago.
We're feeling so old. The things that kids say, I know that sounds old, but seriously, the things online where kids were like, you used to do that or whatever, from the early 2000s, did you see, like, what?
Friend of the show, Kelly Mano, did you see the Her thing that went viral?
Yeah.
No, what was it?
So this guy was like, wait, you're telling me that you just drank from a hose? You didn't know, but whatever. And she was, and of course she stitches it. And she was like, look, our parents didn't even know we were alive. You know, like, they had to put a thing at the end of the news to remind our parents that they had children.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
That's exactly
that was
it.
A thing, yeah.
So he just kind of like rips this guy apart for, yes, we all drank from the hose. Dalton crosses over and he gets too close and he unlocks and gets captured by the red-faced demon again. So Patrick Wilson realizes this ghost that he's been seeing is the ghost of his father, and he also could astral project, and everybody just thought he was crazy. So he was admitted to a mental hospital and he committed suicide.
We don't have as an open and accepting philosophy about astral projection.
That's true.
Back then, like we do today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's, you know,
commonplace.
It's your astral, your choice.
You have Elise talking to a college group of people, like a college class, about astral projection. Everybody's like, "Yeah, man, that's legit."
Yeah, that was weird. I have a question for you. So, in this movie, it seems like when the dead people, the spirits, the ghosts, whatever they are, when they interact with you, it's not really happening because that ghost vomits in his face and then he's like, oh, and you know, he looks crazy. Like there's nothing going on.
Like when you walk into a spider web.
Yeah. Yeah. So
God, that's the worst. Oh,
so did the dad actually
pretty much ghost walking in spider webs, racism,
ghost vomit,
rape.
Oh,
ghost vomit.
Seems right.
Yeah. Talk about, sorry, I'm not home right now. Leave a message and I'll call you back. Voice machines.
Yeah.
Voicemail box, like physical ones. So when the dad crashes through the window, is that really happening? Can they interact with real things?
So what the ghosts are trying...
Because he moves the keyboard, so
that's true.
So where do they pick and choose? Are you
I think
really...
That's a problem.
Yes.
That is a big old problem.
Because I don't know the rules. I watched the movie. I'm like, so can they really affect things? Because Dalton can, so... The ghosts are...
I think Dalton can because he's real.
Okay. But all the other stuff is just scary. So can they actually hurt you or are they just messing with
your
mind? So
what they're doing is these ghosts that are going after Dalton are trying to suck the life force out of Dalton so that they can cross over, which is what we see later, right? When Dalton gets possessed by the red-faced demon, that's what he's trying to do. And that's what, in the second movie, that's the whole point, is that... This thing that has
been possess you if they take your...
This thing that has been following Josh this entire movie has taken possession.
Okay.
But the problem is Josh's body can't contain it. So like throughout the movie, Josh is like he's pulling his own teeth out, like his body is breaking down. So that's what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Long story short, we just get a replay of one. That's what the end of this movie is, just a redo of one where Josh figures out what's going on. Rose Byrne's like, hey, you know how you feel all foggy and stuff, and I could have answered these questions for you 9 years ago, but I didn't. By the way, I will say the doc.
Funny story. you're gonna
laugh. This is real funny. The guy that he sees in the very beginning of the movie, where he's like, "Hey, don't I know you at the funeral?" That's the doctor that from part two,
right? And they show him in the beginning.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking that was a replay, Elise, but it's not Elise.
They show the replay thing.
They've already killed Elise.
Yeah, that scene with the doctor in the classroom thing, she's like, haha, hey guys, welcome to my class, and then they cut and she's like, there's a very serious thing about it's a very weird...
Do you know who she is in real life?
Who is she?
So do you know who Bob Shea is?
Yeah,
that's his sister.
Okay.
So
who's Bob Shea?
Bob Shea was like the guy that created New Line Cinema.
Okay.
And like Freddy and all that stuff is all Bob Shea.
Can she not walk anymore?
No, I think she can. She's old. I mean, she's old.
I mean, because there's like, she's in the movie for like 3 minutes.
Right.
And the one
sitting
scene,
and standing.
She sits the entire time. And the other thing, she stands there but does not move.
That is true.
In
she
any
is
way,
very,
shape, or form.
Like rigid. Yeah. Maybe.
But is she in horror stuff?
She is very anything that was produced by New Line, Lynn Shea had a part. Yeah. Go watch the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. I know she's a horror. I'm guessing it's the writing. I mean, I don't know.
It is the writing.
Because it's just weird that in the editing, that's another thing where it's like, the scenes just didn't, whatever she was doing was not working. It was weird. I was getting weird vibes.
Yeah, it's, she is really good in, I think she's good in the first four, like one and two.
They give her nothing to do here.
Nothing.
Like they, she's just here because
they want some fan service.
Because yeah, that's because exactly people like seeing her because of the other movie.
So that's right. What, yeah, because she sticks out. Like it's, she's so shoehorned into this, and right. Then it's like, look who this is.
Right.
And I'm like, what is, what are we doing here?
It was, yeah,
it's very weird.
So Josh, of course, goes into the further, pulls Dalton out again, and what I thought they were going to do, and I was like, this is kind of interesting, was that the demon was pushing against the red door, and rather than having our, you know, it's a hero's journey, right? So Josh is just saying, you go. And I thought the end of this movie was Josh holding the door, Hodor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it, and Josh was going to die. And he was, you know, Patrick Wilson was going to die, and his sacrifices, he's blocking this door.
They're never going to completely cut off the option for sequels.
Oh, there was an end credit. There was a post credit sequence.
Was there?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't stick around.
I only did because I looked it up and I was like, well, all right, I'll see what it is.
Isn't there a light on or something?
So basically Dalton gets out and they realize Dalton decides to just paint it black.
That's why at the end of the movie, like, so the whole thing's just based on
paint it black.
I saw a red door and I want to paint it black.
One of the best Rolling Stone songs.
And they ever. Could not that afford that song.
Oh, yeah. Hell no. Not,
it would be
no.
A little on the nose.
Well, I mean, for this movie.
Yeah. But yeah, and basically that's like, that's literally what they were doing. So I'm like,
right.
You know, they wanted to.
Oh yeah. You know, before it got done, before they put the score on, he was like,
Patrick Wilson's like, how much does that cost?
This movie wouldn't use the Rolling Stones version. They'd use one of those like creepy, slowed down horror movie versions.
You mean like the song at the end of this movie?
Yeah.
The song Stay by Ghost?
Yeah.
like it's covered by
and
Ghost.
Patrick Wilson?
So where is he in that song?
He's the one going, I stay.
No, it's not.
Yes, it has to be. I think that was his voice. Yeah. He's going, stay.
That's
so he
crazy.
Directs it. He stars in it. He sings the song.
He can sing. Like, we see him sing in, he can, no, for real.
Okay.
Like, in The Conjuring 2.
But this dude is like, I am going to do everything in this movie. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe you should have focused.
I'm going to get four paychecks.
He's the best boy.
Yeah.
So Josh, I'm sorry, Dalton paints the door.
Fluffer.
Yeah. Hey, that's behind the green door. Paints the door black. And of course, that seals the door shut.
Of course.
Bring Josh out. Everybody's happy.
So they're getting in through his painting. He drew the thing in the blood and that opened it?
The painting unlocked the stuff in Dalton's brain. So it started to like break down.
By him sealing it, his brain is sealed? There's a connection between the painting?
It's dumb. It's dumb.
I don't know
what
happened.
That's the bottom line.
I literally don't know what happened in this
movie. Your ending should have been Josh holding the door. That should have been the ending. Is he stays behind. Because they even play it where like his body dies. Like, and Rose Byrne's like, hey, y'all right there, bud? Oh, his heartbeat stopped. So he comes back out, goes, you know, and helps Dalton. And this scene was very touching where the middle of Dalton's wall is a really impressive picture of Josh carrying Dalton
from the first movie,
yeah. Carrying him out. I was like, that's a,
remember that good movie?
Yeah. We've always said like, don't harken back to better stuff,
man.
And I do like that. I like that. The blocks are gone. They remember everything.
Don't go to that therapist. Watch out. Don't let anyone take you to a hypnotist.
And then we talked about it where she's like, you can come over early and stay for dinner. He's like, we're back together, baby. Yeah.
He goes, and this lady's like, I knew your mom.
Which is true. Like that in the second movie, we find out that Barbara Hershey's character, Josh's mom, does get in contact with Elise. And Elise was actually the one that put the block in the first time because Josh was being followed by the bride from 2. Mm. If you ever, watching 1 and 2 back to back is great.
They're great.
It's so well done. And then, yeah, he's like, do you live here? I hope so.
Yeah.
What?
And then she just does a weird, she's just like, I'll be seeing, you're going to be great at whatever. It's just, you know, she does, and he's like, what are you talking about, lady? I
know. Although, but like, if the block is down, he should know who she is.
Yeah.
He should know who she is.
Did they pull the block down all the way for him?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't know that they did for him.
What are the rules? Yeah. I don't really,
but, I don't know.
But I guess I do like the idea of normally horror movies end with that last moment of like, the ghost or something
is back,
evil coming back. And in this case, you have the ghost come back to say something positive.
That's true.
Like, I thought, fair. I was like, that's a nice.
Oh, with the dad, the dad.
No, no, her, because she's dead.
Elise. Oh, Elise she's dead.
She's dead. Yeah. Elise is a ghost.
She dies in the first one.
Oh, and that's why she disappears. Yes. She's, I got it, got it.
Okay. Yeah. She's not Batman.
I know, I was just, I know, but I just.
I hate when he does that.
I forgot. It's been a while since.
I just wanted this to end.
Yeah.
I wasn't asking questions.
I wasn't.
But I just wanted it over.
The last, at the end credits is.
But the dad does something nice too, right? He sees his dad that he never knew. And
yeah, and he's just
they
like.
Have a catch.
Sorry I crashed through your window and scared you. I should have maybe just said like, hey, I'm your dad, but no.
No. He picks up his box of memories, is like, cool, thanks, and disappears.
Sometimes you would send me a birthday card with a $5 bill.
But the light goes back on over the red door.
That's
how it ends. This franchise, whether it's The Conjuring or Insidious or even Sinister, which I think are the three big current like horror franchises, because we don't, when was the last time we had a Saw movie though,
like 2 years ago?
Matt
with
Chris was on.
Yeah.
And now a new one's coming out.
We just Saw 10 is coming.
Yeah.
Along with The Exorcist. Did you see that?
No.
By David Gordon Green.
Oh, well.
It's a legacy sequel. I'm not even making this up.
Oh, it's a sequel? Oh.
And they're bringing back the mom.
Don't let him make more than one. He can make one. He makes one really good movie, legacy sequel, and then he does crap ones.
I just think like those three franchises, it is, they can, one and two, good stuff.
But they all do this, right? I mean, this happens with every horror when they keep
going. It's so diminishing returns.
Have you ever heard of the business theory called the Peter Principle?
No.
It sounds familiar.
And it's the idea that you are promoted to the level of your incompetence, right?
Okay.
So it's like, if you're really good at assistant manager, then they promote you to manager. And if you're really good at manager, then they promote you to regional manager. And then if you suck at regional manager... They don't bump you back down to manager that you were really good at. They just kind of leave you as regional manager because you've been so good up till now. That's horror movies.
I just got promoted.
Yeah. Well,
crap.
That, you know,
I'm worried. I hope they give them more time on the next Scream
feel like all horror movies do that. They just keep making them until they stop making money. And I think this one had a really good weekend.
Did it?
Which I thought so.
And I got to tell you, this, I was looking at the numbers a little bit. This summer has sucked. Like, there is, with Spider.
It's too saturated.
That's exactly what it is. Spider-Verse did really well. Guardians did really well.
But it, you know, I will say though, we used to get, I mean, in the summer, this time of year, we would get two or maybe three big movies in the same weekend. And now
is that right?
Yeah, like, and now we can't even, because I mean,
I feel like they didn't used to compete that much. It was like different demos.
I thought they were different demos.
They would go after different demos, but you'd get, you know, one big action movie followed by a big comic book movie followed by the next big action movie.
I think it's just people, they finally just got back to the theaters and they're like, but I'm not back every week.
Well, I think that's what it is.
They've developed
a different time.
They've developed new habits.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can't release one big movie now a week or two or three a week because people are not going to go every week and they're not going to go to more than one a week. And so they're going to say, and then movies are out in four weeks.
That's what it is.
Now they announce the movie comes out for 1 week and then they say, oh, it's going to be on VOD in 3 weeks.
The Flash is out next week.
But it's like they tell them. The dumbest thing they could possibly do, I think, and clearly they have numbers and they must think they're doing something right, but they tell you when it's going to hit VOD, and it's a very short window. So it used to be 3 months, and then it was like 2 months, and now it's 30 to 45 days, depending on the studio. Most are 45, and I think WB worked out a thing where it's 30. It's 4 weeks.
Is that right?
And it's like, that's people can wait. First of all, there's unlimited things to watch on every stream. I mean, you just...
Yeah.
You can never be bored. You can never say, oh, I don't have something to watch. Like, if anything, there's just too much.
There is.
And you're just like, I gotta turn it off because there's too
much. I have
to
wait for seasons to wrap up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I don't watch anything live anymore. There's no way. Why would I waste my time and then be like, not remember week to week and have to wait where it's like, no, I'll do something else.
I will say.
And binge it.
I did Ted Lasso week to week.
Did you?
That show's amazing.
I'm behind.
That's
I didn't start so
that last season. Was
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh, I did like it.
I don't like that all of a sudden it became an hour-long prestige drama.
That's fair.
Like, I was just like, these are too long. I was dreading watching them.
Yeah. Oh, man, I really did enjoy this.
I haven't started season three yet.
I liked it a lot. But I don't disagree with you.
I like Ted Lasso. I mean, like, hot take, I'm not like a Ted Lasso super fan. I don't get I think it's way overhyped.
Interesting.
I enjoyed the first season and a half and then took a break and then finally finished the second. It's fine, but I didn't get the like the boost that people were like, oh, I just love Ted Lasso so much.
It felt good.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is.
Best episode I saw was the one that didn't feel like a Ted Lasso episode, and the guy goes on that crazy nightclub journey. Oh, right.
That's a great episode.
Oh my God. That brought me back where I'm like, oh, now that is what I want to see. That was so crazy.
Talk that they're coming back without him.
Beard?
Without Lasso.
Without Lasso.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah.
Beard, I see.
Beard basically is like everybody but Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Where Coach Beard goes on that crazy thing where he keeps falling. You know what it reminded me of was After Hours, that Scorsese movie.
Yeah, it certainly had that
I love After Hours. I always say that's the hidden gem that no one has
Criterion.
Seen of Scorsese.
Barnes & Noble right now, 50% off.
That's on Criterion?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Coach Beard episode is like After Hours, and he just keeps falling into more and more crap.
It's great. It's
and it's so
good.
Funny. And that, and I had bought the Funko Pop because it was an exclusive, and I like Ted Lasso, so I'm like, oh, I'll get this. And I hadn't seen the episode, and now I'm like, oh, I have that. And it's him with the funny, like, her pants on, the sequined, whatever.
Yeah. When he shows up on the bus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
Well, and this is projected to make $18 to $23 million this weekend. It made $15 million opening day, including Thursday previews.
$10 million foot rubbing a bomb pop.
Do they have the budget?
It's $16 million.
That's about right.
So, I mean, we always say, like, if they can keep it around the $10 million, you know, obviously this has some big names, and Patrick Wilson's doing 10 roles, so he must have got it.
Oh, I'm sorry. He said it was projected to make $18 to $23 million, and now it's been bumped to it's estimated to make $31 million this weekend.
Hey, that's a win.
God, which I can't imagine that the second week is going to even be a blip, because everyone that saw it, you know,
Well, and then next week is...
Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And then that's going to be everybody.
If I
got to
hear about how Tom Cruise saved cinema one more goddamn time.
People are like, he's doing it. The last
that movie looks ridiculous. I'm stoked to see that movie. Yes.
Well, here's the thing. We talked about this. Indiana Jones, fun movie, felt like Indiana Jones. I liked the character stuff. The action stuff doesn't work for me.
That's what Paul Harris was like. I saw him back to back.
They film every single thing on that. I always forget it when I come to this show. The volume. Yeah. They film everything on their LED wall, right? Because they don't have to go on location, and green screen creates problems with reflecting on your skin and clothes and whatever. So they now just project it on an LED wall. But the thing is it looks like the Ricky and Lucy driving, a very updated version, because you can tell it's a video wall. The light, it just doesn't match. They can do some really cool technical things, but everything is filmed on that now, and I'm so sick of seeing it.
I heard Tom Cruise jumps into a jet-like engine in this one.
All right.
One can only hope.
Yeah, I was going to say. But anyway, there's still people out there doing practical effects, and, you know, so with Maverick and Kaczynski and McQuarrie and these Mission Impossible movies, and obviously George Miller, hopefully he'll make that Furiosa movie soon. There's still people doing it, but it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and I hope we don't get to a point where, like, studios are just like, yeah, we're not making anything with practical, and
I feel the same way about makeup.
Yeah.
Like, those guys like K&B and all those, you know, Tom Savini, those guys, Rick Baker, like those,
like,
are
different.
Those are different things that you'll never get back.
Look at Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and James Gunn puts all those animal creatures, practical effects. Like, there's still people keeping it alive, but it's like that flickering light.
It's not going to be
that
much
longer. And I hope
longer.
If it goes out and then kids won't know, right? Yeah. I know we sound old, but kids will just be like, yeah, it looks like a movie. Every movie looks like that. And it's just going to become the new norm. And I don't want to watch stuff that looks like it's a video wall behind it. I don't. For the TV shows, it makes sense. Smaller budget. They can't do all the practical stuff. Right. But when they're doing their movies on all the video walls and
you've got to have something to differentiate from the TV
That's
shows.
Exactly
yeah.
it.
And they want to push streaming because it's like they get all that money and all the, you know, right? And they're not sharing it with theaters. Mm-mm. So they're trying to make everything like that, and it just
doesn't work.
Much like this movie.
Yeah, diminishing returns on this. Like, 1 and 2, absolutely astounding. 3 and 4, definitely worth a watch. You could skip this one. Yeah. Just consider part 2 the end of Josh and Dalton. Yeah. Like, that's,
if you want to know what happened to him, just go read the Wikipedia plot
synopsis. Right, yeah.
Maybe watch the scenes with Chris. They're funny.
That's fine. Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also on Letterboxd at the same.
All right. This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett, and I think on Threads at Kevin R. Brackett. I think it's the same.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, Don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Cuesta Verde is built on an Indian burial ground. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.